Welcome to the Voice of Hope podcast. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a workman who doesn't need to be ashamed, correctly teaching the word of truth." Arlen, myself, and Tony are going to be your hosts, and we're going to look at ways we can explore and discuss the teachings of the Bible. Before we get into that, let's talk a little bit about ourselves and Heralds of Hope. Here at Heralds of Hope, we're committed to teach the Bible. This is an old organization, and it was started back around 1968. For all those years, the focus has been on expositional Bible teaching, and now we're experimenting with another form. Our goal remains the same. We're still teaching the Bible. We're just using this new form of podcasting to see how it works.
Yeah. So our founder, J. Otis Yoder, he envisioned using the radio and being a voice to speak into some of the errors that he saw coming into the church through modernism and liberalism. So the direction he went was with fundamentalism, and he saw that as the answer to it. One of the things that is unique with what he did is instead of addressing the errors head on and using an apologetic style, he used more of an expository Bible teaching style and taught from the Bible to address these errors and these issues. And so our goal today is not necessarily to address errors. While we would like to do some of that, our goal is to continue in the idea of teaching an expository manner and be able to share the Bible with our listeners.
Yep.
Our goal as an organization is declared as using media to make disciples of Jesus Christ to accomplish the Great Commission in our lifetime. And so our means to that is still the same. We're going to use expository Bible teaching to do that.
And so before we actually do that, we thought it'd be good to look at what goes into our understanding of how we interpret the Bible. So we're going to do a couple of sessions here on biblical interpretation. For today, we'd like to emphasize the importance of how you interpret the Bible. I don't think we have to look around too far to see that our biblical interpretation is very important. For example, I think of the Crusades. As we look back in the past, historical, these guys gave a bad taste to Christianity for many people. And it comes down to how they interpreted their Bible. I mean, they thought they were going to go back to Jerusalem and get that city ready for Jesus to come back. In doing so, they ostracized many people and turned many people against Christianity. I also think of the other example from her past of the Anabaptists. I mean, there was a few men who took the Bible for what it says about being baptized, and they decide they're just going to do that. And when they did that, the repercussions were huge. Their lives were never the same after that. And there's just example after example. You look at the teaching about Christ coming back on a specific date. So many times that has given a bad taste for Christians.
That reminds me of that story in The Earth is the Lord's by John Ruth, where he tells a story of a group of people who were looking for the Lord's return. And interestingly enough, it was on April 1st of 18, I don't have the year in front of me, but it was it was April 1st that they were expecting this to happen. And that night they spent time in the in a pavilion out in a field somewhere, and they were going to have a church service and until the Lord returns. And a neighbor man, he got the brilliant idea that he's going to climb up a tree next to it with a conch shell, and he laid there and waited until about midnight, and things kind of started dying down a little, and they were anticipating the Lord to return. And about that time he blew the conch shell over kind of over the pavilion there, and John Ruth records it, and he says, "One can only imagine the pandemonium that broke loose."
That's great. There again, it goes back to their biblical interpretation.
Yeah. And what is, we do not know the time except for the Father. You know, what does that mean?
Right. So, and there's many other examples we could look at of how people's interpretation has affected their lifestyle. The question is, how can we get it right? How can we do this right? because it's so very important. And I think it can be a little disheartening to us when we look around and we see people who have learned so much and know so much about the Bible. They spent years studying the Bible, and how they interpret the Bible disagrees with someone else who has just as much learning. And then in the middle of that, here I am with, you know, just me, ordinary me. How am I ever supposed to get it right? What can I do? Or how can I know that the way I interpret the Bible is even close to right if the smart people can't even agree? So I think when we see that, sometimes we're depressed maybe, or disheartened at even trying to get it right. But I would like to look at some basics today of how we can interpret the Bible correctly. And we've organized it in a way that hopefully makes it easier to remember. So BASIC is the word, and it's an acronym. So first of all, we're going to emphasize that it's a big deal. How we interpret the Bible is a big deal with major consequences. No matter what, you're living your interpretation of the Bible. If the Bible is important to you, then it's very much a part of your life. If the Bible doesn't matter, that shows up real quick in how you live. And we know that how we live determines our destiny. There's nothing more important than your destiny. Where you're going to be in 100 years is what matters the most. And I'm saying it's based on how you interpret the Bible. So it matters. It's a big deal. We're not reckless. We're not the bull in the china shop personality. We want to be careful, more like a surgeon. We want to be sure. We want to be precise. We want to be careful, because how we interpret the Bible is a big deal. That's the first one. Tony's going to speak to the second thing that can guide us in our Bible interpretation.
Yeah, I was just thinking about the first one here, and I had a thought there. We're not alone in it. The Bible is very clear that the Holy Spirit lives within us and guides us and is a comforter. And Jesus told his disciples that he will remind them of everything that he told them. So it's not like you're wandering around in the dark without a map or without a flashlight. The Holy Spirit provides that guidance. I don't want to leave feeling like we can, like it's impossible to do this right. It is, because that comes through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But yeah, the second one here is admit our weakness. So admitting our weakness in study. It is easy to say, well, I know what I'm talking about. You know, I got this right. And there's been so many times in my life where I was adamant about something until somebody said, no, here, let me show you. You were wrong. And it's always a very humbling and embarrassing experience. And so often I have had to learn that the hard way. Arlen, he gets away with it. He doesn't have that problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, when I think of studying the Bible, it's the same thing. There are times and places to learn things. Isaiah 57:15 says, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him that is of a contrite and humble spirit." So we can study the passage, we can know it well, become an expert, and know the topic. We have lots to learn, but one thing that I've always noticed there is we can always learn a little bit more.
Yep.
And I've thought of some examples to go with this. One way to learn more about Scripture is living in another culture and hearing how they have taken the Bible and applied it. And they come at times with other convictions that are different from mine, and I can learn from them. I have had some experience in living among the First Nations people in Canada, and there's areas where I saw them applying things that were surprising to me. I learned a lot about giving grace. They would view an alcoholic as somebody who has lots of pain and suffering in their life. And I would have viewed it as somebody who lacks discipline. They had a point. I had things to learn there. They also shied away from games with dice and playing cards because of its link back to gambling and the evils that went with it.
Oh,
so, you know, there was times like that where it had some give and take, and it required you to pause and consider what they are saying, and they were right.
Yeah, and that's important, I think, in our view of how we interpret the Bible. Let's admit that we don't have all the answers. Admit that we're still learning. That's a good illustration, Tony. So the second one there was admit our weaknesses. First one, it's a big deal. And now we're going to move on to the third one. And I'm going to start it out with a question, like, what if we have it all wrong? What if we are missing something major? And then when we stand before God, he's going to condemn us because we missed something important. I think this is important to think about, but I don't think you should stay there. Behind this question, we must remember that we're saved by him, not by something we do. And that's the third point. We're saved by him. What I'm getting at is it's not something that we've done that we're saved. It's by God's grace that we are who we are, like Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:10. And we should never lose sight of this fact. You know, when we first became a Christian, it was easy to see how God saved us. It was special. We appreciated it so much. Then after 1 year, after 5 years, after 20 years, is that still our perspective? Or do we have the idea that, you know, we've done it, we've obeyed, we've gone to church, we've given, whatever it is, somehow we've earned it and we're good now? That's not the way it works. We are saved by his grace. On the first day, and 5 years into it, 20 years into it, we're still saved by his grace. If this salvation is based on works, we're all doomed. And I love that verse in Ephesians 2:7 that talks about in the coming ages where we will experience the exceeding riches of his grace. And it seems like this is a journey we've just begun. We have grace. We're living in his grace now. And only in eternity will we be able to see the full results of that grace. And that's a great thing to meditate on.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so the third one there we got to keep in mind is that we're saved by him. And we probably don't have it all right. There are parts of the Bible that we need to grow in and get better at. We're not saved because we've crossed all the T's and dotted all the I's and we got this. That's not what saves us. And so I think that's important to remember in our biblical interpretation. Moving on to the fourth one. This is the basics, so we're ready for I. And I would say that our interpretation of the Bible is for living. We're talking about a practical interpretation that impacts our daily life. Understand, not everybody's going to be a Greek expert or a Hebrew expert, and we won't be able to read the Bible in its original language. And I think that's okay. We appreciate the people that have given themselves to learning the original languages. We learn from them. And, you know, that's great when they do that. However, if you can read English and understand what you're reading in the Bible, you can apply it to your life. And I would say we need to be faithful in what we understand and obey God. Trust God to lead us and also be in community with the people of God. And then God can lead us to greater truth. That whole idea of being close to other people that know God is huge. And we're going to talk more about that one later. But I would say for now, as we walk in the light that we have, God will lead us to greater light. Day to day, we're striving to keep our consciences soft toward his spirit. As he speaks to us through his word, we want to put it into practice. We want to walk with him and obey him. And so we regularly make time for our time with God in the word. And that's what I say. This is what I mean by an interpretation for living. It's you and I reading the Bible and living it out. So not super complicated. Just read it and apply it. Interpretation for living. Lastly,
Can I stop you there for a second? Sure. and back you up? So just a little aside on interpretation for living, and you talked about doing it in community. 1 John talks extensively about being in loving, I shouldn't say being in love, it sounds like you're talking about marriage here, but loving your brother and loving the people that you can see, and that is an indication of your love for God. And it's quite a tall order to think of, you know, in being in community. We do not love God solely by ourselves. We do that in community as well.
Oh, that's huge. Important.
It's part of being part of the church. And so the interpretation for living, this is an example of what that should look like.
Right. And I plan on talking about that a bunch later, actually, because I believe that's such a powerful thing. When we have a relationship with God, and we have a relationship with other people who knew God, that is how the Bible is best interpreted.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we're ready for C in the word basic. The C stands for cherish the author. And I would say this is a major, major factor that we all need to get our biblical interpretation right. Are you in love with the author? If you and I love the author and want his heart to be our heart, we can interpret the Bible. And I would say it's at that point that you're most qualified to interpret the Bible. You know, it's the people that love Jesus and want his heart who I want teaching my kids. Actually, those are the people that I want to learn from. When we love Jesus, we're not looking for loopholes. We're not looking a way around it. We just want to do what he says. We take what's written and we live it out. And so this whole idea of cherishing the author, which might be a little stretch because I needed a C, but are we in love with the author? Do you want to do what he teaches? And if you bring that perspective to the Bible that you're reading, it changes everything. It makes you very qualified to interpret the Bible. And so there you have it. Basic. It's a big deal. You admit our weaknesses. We're saved by him. Interpretation for living and cherish the author. I'm not sure if that's going to be easy to remember or not, but that was the goal.
Yeah, let me see if I got it. Big deal. Admit our weaknesses or our being aware. No.
Admit
our weakness.
Yeah, you got it.
Saved by him. Interpreting the truth.
Interpretation for life.
Interpretation for life. See, I can't get it either. All right, you might be right. And cherish the author.
Yeah, well, we'll perfect it the next time around. How about that?
We'll put it in the show notes. How's that?
Okay, sounds good. But I would like to end with the thought that listening to someone talk about the Bible and listening to other people teach the Bible is no replacement for you getting into the Bible yourself.
Amen.
Never have we lived in a day and age where there has been so much teaching and so many resources available for us. And they're good. They're positive. But I think across all of time and across all the other cultures that we know about, like the time we live in is definitely unparalleled. There's never been a time like this where we have so many resources at our fingertips. But despite all those good things, this is still no substitute for you and me to get into the Word ourselves. We need to make time for that. We need to make time with our Bible, talking to the Lord and knowing him personally. Think about a relationship that you have with a person, especially your spouse, but you can't do it without that time invested and knowing them personally. You know, there was a time in your relationship with your spouse that letters and emails and texts just didn't cut it. You needed to be with them in person. And I think the same is true in a relationship with the Lord. You know, we can learn so much from books and sermons and podcasts and YouTube. But at the end of the day, we need to get into the Bible for ourselves and know him on a personal level.
Yeah, I can't agree with you more on that. Yeah, I was just thinking you were saying there's so much available and here we are making some more.
Yeah, but we're not trying to take away from their personal time.
Yeah, that's true. And it takes that. I saw a story here that we got from some audio Bibles that we send out, and the fellow had listened through the New Testament in two different languages twice. And so he was definitely consuming it.
Yeah, I saw that. That's neat that in a short amount of time, he listened to the New Testament four times.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is no substitute for you taking your Bible and personally meeting with the author, but we hope it can be a tool to aid in your relationship with him.
Yeah. So that pretty much wraps up our podcast here. And just want to encourage you to keep an eye open for it. We're going to keep these in the Voice of Hope stream, along with our sermons by J. Mark Horst that we produce regularly and also broadcast throughout the United States and Canada on a number of radio stations. That is maybe something you want to look up. You can go to our website, heraldsofhope.org, or give us a call, 866-960-0292. We would love to talk to you. An email address is hope@heraldsofhope.org. That would also reach us. And we'd be interested in hearing your feedback, your thoughts on this podcast.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Tony. Talk to you next time.